It's a music birthday for Carly Simon. Number one in 1973, You're So Vain. Who's it about? We don't know. But Warren Beatty, David Geffen, didn't she whisper in someone's ear some years ago? It was an auction, and someone won the right to be told who You're So Vain was about, but it was whispered into the ear, and he can't tell anyone. Anyway, Carly Simon, a birthday today. She is 74 years old. Happy birthday to Carly Simon. Scott Bertram sitting in for Steve here on the Steve Gruber Show on this Tuesday morning all across the great state of Michigan. At Scott Bertram on Twitter, S-C-O-T-B-E-R-T-R-A-M, SteveGruber.com, and at Steve Gruber Show on Twitter. Joining us on the program now, Dr. Jerome Siegel, president of the Jewish Peace Lobby, state chairman of the Bread and Roses Party of Maryland, and former candidate for U.S. Senate as well in that state in the Democratic primary there. Dr. Siegel, thanks for joining us here on the Steve Gruber Show.
Sure, my pleasure.
So tell us a little bit about the Jewish Peace Lobby, and then we talk a little about what's happening in the Middle East.
Okay, well, the Peace Lobby goes all the way back to 1989, it was really the outgrowth, to some extent, of work I did before that in 1987. I was part of the first Jewish American delegation to open up a dialogue with the PLO when they were viewed just as a terrorist organization and were in Tunis. In 1988, did amazing steps. They reversed the 40-year position in opposition to the UN resolution, which was the basis for the creation of Israel, a partition resolution that called for dividing Palestine into two states, one Jewish and one Arab. And the PLO accepted that. I was somewhat involved with that activity. And then they went on, to the satisfaction of Ronald Reagan, to meet these longstanding U.S. conditions for opening up a dialogue with the United States, recognizing Israel's right to exist and abandoning terrorism and so forth. And at that point, I had been very engaged with the Palestinians, and I shifted gears to the American Jewish community and organized the Jewish Peace Lobby, which was an alternative, really, to the dominant lobby in Washington called AIPAC, which is extremely powerful and still is today, and was part of my campaign against Senator Cardin, who emerged really over the years as a very strong AIPAC representative in Congress. And so here we are. We're still at it.
We've got just a couple of minutes here, so let's get right to it. The tensions with Iran appear to be rising now. What do you see as a potential key to sort of sorting that issue out?
Well, I have a very unusual view of the situation with Iran and our nuclear confrontation with them. The nuclear program of Iran actually began before the Ayatollahs. It began under the Shah. And the U.S. was opposed to it, but somewhat tepidly. The real juice behind the U.S.-Iranian confrontation is actually the Iranian-Israeli confrontation. And the U.S. has been very much, in this administration, in sync with Prime Minister Netanyahu, whose objective was for the U.S. not to enter the nuclear deal, but instead actually for there to be a military strike led by the U.S. against Iran. My view actually is that a real reset in U.S.-Iranian relations could be possible if we were able to achieve Israeli-Palestinian peace. I think Israeli-Palestinian peace, it still remains the central issue in the Middle East, and that making progress on that would change everything, including U.S. relationships with Iran and Israel's relationship with Iran.
How close, how far away, in comparison to past years, are we closer or farther away from the goal of Israel-Palestinian peace?
Well, right now we're at a real low point. and part of it has been brought on by the Trump administration. When Trump came in, I actually was somewhat hopeful in this one area for a variety of things that he did. The very fact that he was still interested in pursuing a deal after the failure of the Obama administration was impressive, and the fact that he was interested in putting on the table a complete treaty rather than parameters was very interesting to me, and I engaged with the administration. And the fact that Trump is a deal maker, and that this, I think, intrigued him. But somewhere along the way, they really shifted course, and policy, I believe, came to be dominated by Kushner and David Friedman, the U.S. ambassador, and Greenblatt, all of whom really are on the right wing of the American Jewish community and have been supporters of the settlement project, which really isn't interested in the two-state solution. It's really interested in the gradual takeover of the West Bank by Israel through a creating facts on the ground process. And so they completely alienated the Palestinians with their unilateral recognition of Jerusalem as Israel's capital, which the Israel had agreed with the PLO that issues of that sort, including annexation, would only be dealt with in the final status negotiations. And the U.S. just undermined the Palestinians' negotiating position. And it's no surprise that the Palestinians have assessed the U.S. as no longer capable of being an honest broker. And they're waiting them out in the hope that there'll be a different administration. And, of course, Israel's in flux now. They may be, it looks like we're going into another Israeli.
Got to run here up against the heartbreak. Dr. Jerome Siegel, thanks for joining.